when we met in November, and then we followed up last month, you know, I've been really thinking a lot lately about what are some of the major obstacles that really prevent us from, you know, really achieving the goals that we want, experiencing the life that we want. What are some of the key things that we face on a day-to-day basis? And for me, I don't know about you guys, but it's change was always something that I resisted. And I think it's something that many people would agree that change oftentimes can be difficult. So would you guys agree, and maybe even just, you know, either in the chat or just confirmation if you're not muted, would you agree that change is something that gets in the way at times from progress, from growth?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, good. So at least we're starting from a common point here. So the reason, right, I wanted to do this show about, or this mastermind embracing change, is to follow up on some of the other topics we've discussed before about self-confidence, limiting beliefs, self-esteem. We talked about the success formula in November as well, too. But I wanted to provide you the tools that I've learned that literally transform my life, and people that I've worked with, some of you guys too have experienced some of this too, that can help you manifest and create every goal and dream desire that you could possibly imagine. So the information I'm going to share today that I've shared previously in different realms has transformed my relationships, my health, my business, and my finances. So I want you to have all the information at your fingertips to help you eliminate any reason or excuse you're not pursuing your best life or why you might be feeling stuck, right? What we call the triple P life. And guys, it comes down to this. And this was reminded to me on my own coaching call. I'm working with a coach out of Australia. Her name is Holly McHugh, and I'm going to have her on the show soon. She is a freaking rock star. And she's helping us to really hone in our message as a business, as an organization. And it comes down to the fact that you all deserve to be happy. You deserve incredible prosperity. And so if we can provide you more useful tools to help understand why we resist change, but also more importantly, to give you the tools necessary to help overcome those obstacles when you experience it. So let me start by asking you a question. Would you guys agree that change is really hard?
100%.
Right? Are there certain areas in your life? Hey, Steve Kramer.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Luke's here too.
Hey, Luke. How's it going, bud?
Hey, good.
Would you guys agree that there is, and Sandy and everyone on Sandy's team, I see Sandy's team's there. So would you agree that there are certain areas in our life that is harder than others when it comes to change? Like for me, fitness is easy because I love being challenged and trying new things. So it never really stops me from, you know, trying new programs or pushing myself. So fitness has always been really easy. When it comes to, let's say, either mindset changes or, back in the day, financial changes, like really understanding, you know, the dynamic laws of prosperity and how to implement it in my life so I can attract abundance and prosperity, that was difficult because I had to change an old mindset. I had to let go of an old mindset. So just quickly, is there a specific area that you guys know in your mind, certain area in your life, that are more difficult than others when it comes to change? Being Steve Kramer, you're on the screen. Is there one that you can think of off the top of your head?
You know, I would say the finance part, Jay, is to, that would be something I want to keep getting better at. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Is Luke there? Luke have an answer?
I am. Yeah, mine would probably be the same thing, but I'm probably kind of on the other end of just a different part of that journey. So trying to figure out how to evolve that.
Justin, I think this might be a good place for you one day to hold one of these masterminds, and everyone can pick your brain. If you guys don't know, Justin is in finances. So, so there's a common theme here. Keith, what about you?
Yeah, money, probably more body image.
Interesting.
And that's set up too.
Yeah, cool for sharing. Sandy, do you guys have one? You have one particular overriding one? All right. Well, you're on mute. She said yes. Okay. So let's get into the five reasons people resist change and what you can do about it. So number one is, and one of the and by in no particular order, and there's more than these, but these are the five most common reasons why we resist change. Number one, Sandy said fitness. Thanks for responding. So number one is we hate feeling uncomfortable. Look, guys, we're creatures of habit. For most part, we love routine. If something happens that takes us out of our routine, it messes with our head, right? Brad probably would agree with that. It makes us feel uncomfortable. We don't like feeling uncomfortable. Being uncomfortable causes us stress, and it elicits the body's natural stress response. And as you guys know, as chiropractors, people that we see every single day are coming in from the effects of being in a chronic state of high stress. So this stress response will also cause us to experience negative thoughts. So if you wonder where negative thoughts manifest itself, when we live in a chronic state of high stress, our body always our minds will always elicit these low tone and negative thoughts that we experience, what I call ANTS, automatic negative thoughts. Now, the memories from our past experience create those emotions, right, which are then tied to that previous experience, which for the most part we want to avoid. So the illusion is we believe our past experiences will define our future results. So we get fearful of the future, even in the fact that the future offers new hope and new opportunity. We'd rather stay in pain of the present because at least I know what that feels like. I'll get to more of that further, which is crazy, right? Now, the reason is who we are, right? Who we were then is not who we are. So therefore, our future results don't have to be the same if we've learned from our past experience. So I can give you some, you know, some examples of that. One specific example is when I moved from Atlanta to here in Wisconsin after we graduated. Grew up right outside New York City, live in Atlanta, always in a major metropolitan area, and I came to, you know, rural Wisconsin. And the opportunity was really good to pass up, but I resisted it as much as I possibly could, and that created a lot of stress in my life, my physical stress, my relationship. So until the point that I actually accepted being where I was, right, the change could never occur in my head. So therefore, to accept it physically, emotionally, spiritually, in other words, encompassing it in full. So we do this all the time. And until we stop resisting the change will continue, or the negative experiences from that change will continue. And the net result is we keep repeating the same habits over and over. It's like Groundhog Day. So number two, the reason we don't like for resisting change is we don't like feeling overwhelmed or stressed, right? Who wants to feel stressed? When we're stressed, and unfortunately that's right far too often for most of us, stress becomes the obstacle for change and therefore growth. So I want you to think about a time, perhaps even your current situation, where you've been totally stressed out. Now, it doesn't feel good, right? So when you're feeling stressed, is never a good time to consider making changes in your life, because we're not in a rational state of mind to think straight. It's been my experience that when we're in a stressful environment that is tense or inundated with projects, the people in that environment will experience the same feeling. So all you guys are running businesses. You have people on your team. So when we're stressed, our people on our team experience the same thing. So the ability to affect change in your organization will be non-existent if the leader is in a presence of chronic stress. It's a really important point. So leaders have to understand, you know, people's complaints and be attentive to their needs throughout the change process. Keep the reasoning for change front and center and make the environment more conducive to future change. The thing is, the more you change, guys, the easier change becomes. It sounds trite, but it's really true. Now, number three, we don't like to leave the known for the unknown, even if we know it will make us better in the long run. By definition, implementing change is a departure from the known. Look, the old way feels good, as I mentioned before, ironically, even if it's not good for us. This causes us to hang on to the known at almost any cost. An example of this might be a bad relationship where the relationship feels hopeless, or it could be a dead-end career. Hopefully no one here on this call feels that way. But perhaps it's letting go of old habits or behaviors that are no longer serving us. like smoking or consuming too much alcohol, et cetera. Or even worse, toxic people or relationships that no longer serve us. So this is such a crazy part of it, right? When I first started meditating, guys, I knew all the research. I knew how effective meditation was. I knew based on the research that it could help me overcome the anger issues that I had dealt with for my entire life. But because it felt uncomfortable and at the time quirky and awkward, I thought it was like, you know, it was really weird. I wouldn't allow myself to try something new that I knew that it could help. So until the pain of staying the same was exceeded by the pain of change, we stay the same. Let me repeat that. Until the pain of staying the same is exceeded by the pain of change, you're going to stay the same. So in other words, we've got to, hopefully we don't get to this point, but many times we don't make a change until it's kind of a last resort. Just staying where we're at right now is just so uncomfortable, so such a bad experience that we're willing to jump in the pain of change. Look, life is always about pain. You're either in the pain of staying the same or pain of change. I changed my mindset, no pun intended, I changed my mindset to accept the pain of change because the pain of change offers new opportunity. So one of the processes is to understand that, change is constant. And so I could be in a pain of sameness or the pain of change, just choose the pain of change because that's where opportunity growth occurs. So let's talk about number four. Number four is people lack trust in themselves or others to accept change. When we suffer from low self-esteem or we lack trust in the people around us, we're going to struggle to change. So embracing change does require some self-confidence, belief, or faith. Having faith is not about a religious thing, guys, but it could be, you know, if that's your anchor, and that's a great anchor. But faith is really about having a belief in yourself and a belief that things around you will work out. It's a lot easier to face change if you have faith in yourself and the outcome. And guess what? If it doesn't work, so what? You have the power to change that circumstance, if so you choose. That's the beauty of it. You can continue to make change as you go along. You don't have to stay where you're at. So as I mentioned before, it is the unknown that gets us. It's the uncertainty and the lack of knowing that things will work out. And the fact is, not everything will always work out. We know that. But if you believe you're doing the right things for the right reason, I can guarantee more times than not, things are going to work out. So if you guys lack trust in those around you and your significant relationships, then we need to create better relationships. We have to be able to trust the people around us, whether it's, you know, a coworker or a boss, a friend, or even our significant other. If trust is not built, then mistrust becomes the default response. And mistrust often becomes evident in the resistance to change. And an organization can never change and grow if we don't believe in the leader. See, the leaders can build trust by being honest. That's number one is honest, and number two is vulnerability. And then by including the people on your team, you can begin the process of change. Further, they can create an environment in which people believe in change that can be implemented and managed for the benefit of all. So let's talk about the fifth reason. People know change brings a new set of possibilities, problems, and responsibilities. So many people prefer for things the same the way that they are than for it to head off in a new direction that is largely uncharted or unknown. And by instinct, we know that a new way presents both possibilities, problems, and responsibilities. This is last one here is what gets a lot of people hung up. Growth oftentimes, right, requires new personal responsibility, either from the knowledge, action, that we then have to, because if we're going to be congruent and live true to who we are, as we change, our responsibilities are going to change. See, the crazy thing is, most of us would rather reject the new possibilities if it also means avoiding the problem that may come along with the change. Guys, you remember the quote, better the devil you know than the devil you don't? This is what I was saying before. I'd rather stay in the known than face the unknown. At least I know who I'm dancing with. Now, the other part in this is the responsibility that comes with change. We often think, what will be expected of me if I change? What if I fail? What will people think of me? Guys, this is all based in ego and fear. When we're growing and learning, we inherently know that expectations are going to rise, not just from others, but ourselves. We become uncertain, even if we're ready to change. That's only natural, so therefore we find excuses not to embrace the change. This is too bad, because with added responsibilities, the beauty is it comes new opportunities. And this is where life's magic begins to happen. So let's first talk about what change is, right? Change ensures that a bad situation ends. That's really it, right? By taking a new course of action to improve our skill sets or managing a new project, we'll be presented with the chance to enhance and develop and to become a new and better version of ourselves. Change is a natural, constant part of life. If you guys can own that one statement, change will become easier for you. Let me repeat that. Change is a natural and constant part of life. Just think of the world around you. The seasons are changing, always, right? It's getting lighter out now, right? These are normal, universal, and physical laws of the universe. None of us are staying the same. Every 4 to 7 years, our bodies are developing entirely new cells and we become a newer version of ourselves physically, right? As we grow and we learn and we empower our minds, we change the way we think. Technology is changing as rapidly as it ever has before, which is changing how we live. So change is all around us. And if you acknowledge that, then it becomes a much easier task at hand. Now, guys, repeat after me. Change can be scary and difficult, but change is good. Another affirmation you guys need to own. Change can be scary and difficult, but change is good. Because most times it is so worth it. And while not all change feels good, right? There's the distinction. It doesn't always feel good. In fact, I would argue the more times you feel uncomfortable and get anxious, that's the kind of change that creates mega growth, mega personal growth, mega growth within your business.
Hi.
Just touch on the embracing change part. So why should you embrace change? Well, accepting and embracing changes allows you to adapt better to change and become more flexible. Change is going to be a lot harder on someone when they resist it and they reject it, as I mentioned before. So accepting change makes dealing with it just way, way more easy. So embracing something, so thinking the concept embracing change, embracing something is to welcome it with open arms, to hold, to hug, to accept completely and unconditionally. So when you become someone who embraces change, you accept it unconditionally. You welcome it with open arms, which changes your vibrational tone. And ultimately will change the experience you have as you go through the pain of change. So a few things I want to go over, which are some of the reasons why we should seek change. Number one is education. We just grow mentally, physically, spiritually. Number two is adaptability, right? Accepting and embracing change allows us to adapt better. And we are creatures of adaptation. The better we adapt, the better life, the longer we live, the better quality of life. The third one is we have more opportunities and possibilities. When we become an agent of change, the universe starts to send more things our way because we know we're not resistant to this mindset. Four is improvement. We just become better versions of ourselves. Five, and I love this one, is greatness. It allows change. We can't reach greatness, our personal greatness, which is inherent in each and every one of us, if we're not willing to change and grow. Six is change creates courage. Each time you change, it builds self-confidence and self-esteem and courage to embrace the next opportunity to change. Seven is change creates more resiliency and grit. We become grittier. Eight is we appreciate failure and we enjoy success more. And nine is allows you to be proactive in the process. Right? You choose how you're going to accept change rather than change being forced upon you. And number 10 is life becomes more interesting. I've often said that the sauce, the secret sauce of life is growth. And we're not growing if we're not changing. And new opportunities, as I mentioned, new experiences, all are rooted in having a change mindset. Two more here is change can improve your relationships. Let's face it, if you become stale and stagnant, so will your relationships. And 12 is you're more likely to follow through with your goals. Why? Because when we apply goals, we're going to have to learn new skill sets. We're going to have to take on new action steps to move us to a different place than we currently are at. So before I wrap this up, I want to cover a few different things here. So I want to ask you this question. Who's willing to share where they're facing change currently that you're resisting or avoiding? Does anybody on the call here would like to share? And I'll share one with you that I'm currently experiencing. And I won't say I'm totally resisting it. I'm just moving hesitantly. So is anyone here would like to share an area in your life where you're resisting or avoiding change? Steve Kramer, looks like you want to say something.
There we go. Well, you know, last month when we talked about the that morning, I'm totally in. I totally know it's good for me, and making it consistent has just been a struggle for me. And I typically, when I'm going to work out, I use that morning time. And so trying to figure that out and do the routine is I'm a struggle bus with it. And part of it is I got to get up earlier. So, and I do typically get to bed pretty early, but I really want to, I want to own that. So but right now I'm still in that struggle bus.
So that was a great affirmation. I want to own that. So that should be your affirmation. I want to own, or instead of want, because want comes from need and need comes from lack, the affirmation should be, I am going to own my morning routine, and give yourself a date. So maybe it's March 30th or April 1st. Give yourself a date, because remember, the mind is target oriented. So therefore, if you have a direction to go, it will naturally move in that way. So with that affirmation and that target, that will help you. Anybody else have any suggestions for Steve? Because this is a mastermind, right? All you guys have great things to offer.
Yeah. Actually, I'm glad he said that, because that is exactly one of the things that I'm struggling with is my morning routine. You know, just having a consistent routine. It's not so much getting up, but it's what happens in that first, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. And it's just lacking consistency. And I can tell, and I'm sure, Steve, you're feeling this too, the days that you do exactly what you want to do, they're far more productive. But absolutely, for me, it's and maybe this is an accountability thing, and I'd love to just partner up and just kind of say, hey, are you doing your thing? And kind of accountable a little bit, because that's what I feel like, that's what I really need. Like, I'm holding myself accountable in my head, but it's so easy to not, you know. Mm-hmm. And but the morning routine is definitely the one thing that I'm struggling with and really want to get down. Now, on the flip side, and Jay knows this, and maybe some of the others, I mean, we are expecting our first child here, and that'll force a little bit of a routine, but I think it's even more important at that point to have something dialed in. So that's kind of, I mean, that's my struggle right now, no doubt.
It's awesome. Great. Yeah, Justin, thanks for sharing that. What about anybody else? I'm sure there's got to be something. I'll share mine. So we were presented an opportunity to purchase our second F45 franchise location. It's a really good deal. But we're hesitant because even though we believe this concept is going to kill it and crush it, and we want to get some proof of concept before we make the next investment in the first and the second studio. And so my logic brain says, do this, trust and have faith, right, that it'll work. And my emotional brain, right, the negative side is, no, I mean, sorry, that was my emotion side. My logic side saying, wait 6 months, get proof of concept, you know, get this one rolling, and then go ahead and do it. So that's what I'm struggling with as far as change, is making that decision. Hmm. Santa, you have anything you want to share?
that's going to help.
We're having a hard time hearing you. Are you close enough to your mic?
I'll get right up in here. How about now?
That's perfect.
Much okay. better.
So I was just thinking about what Justin said about, Justin, you need to get your morning routine figured out now before baby comes, and then do your best to honor it once baby's here, like make it a priority once baby's here, because it'll be harder once baby's here to try to bring that in after the fact.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually, don't hope and don't count on getting lucky with the baby sleep, because it's far more likely it's going to be random, and you may have to rotate your morning routine between 2 a.m., 4 a.m., 6 a.m., and 8 a.m. depending on the day.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right. So you need to prioritize that and just not miss it, but it may not be at the same time every day.
Mm-hmm. Or Justin, it could be getting to the office a half hour earlier so you can do it at where you're, you know, not being distracted and you're in your office rather than home. And you may need to do that for a while because, you know, the baby can get up and cry and, you know, Michaela will need help. So maybe that might be a helpful solution too.
Yeah. No, it's all great feedback. And that's really why I want to get this dialed in, because, yeah, I agree. I think, you know, after the baby comes, there's another variable, and a variable you really can't control in a lot of ways. So thank you for that. I appreciate that, Sandy.
Yeah, it's a huge variable, no question about it. Which, by the way, Justin, you brought up, and I think that's brilliant. This is what this group is about, is accountability and help and support and encouragement, blah, blah, blah. So this GPS to Success 2019-2020 Facebook group is not just about me posting. I want you guys to share content. I want to start conversations in there. And guys, put your thoughts and ideas and concepts. I try to put stuff in there that initiates thoughts and, you know, obviously provides some empowering information. But to have a dialogue and help each other out if you're struggling with some, and ask the group, hey, you know, I'm having a challenge with this. How have you guys handled with it? If we're going to maximize and get the real value out of it, is if we can use it like that, I really think it'll allow us to do so. So before I move on to wrap up, because I want to respect your time, is there anyone else who would like to share a challenge that they're facing as it relates to change that maybe we can help and offer suggestions like we've done with Steve and Justin? Okay. All right. So first of all, was this a good topic?
Yeah.
It's helpful?
I like it.
Good, good. Does it make sense to understand now why we essentially, you know, resist change and what the benefits are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me go over 8 reasons, all right, or 8 steps to respond positively to change. Number one is acknowledge that change is a constant. Once the mindset wraps its head around, right, it's kind of funny, once we wrap our mindset around it, that change is a constant, then we become less resistant. Number two is face your fears. Guys, we've all heard the acronym, fear is false evidence appearing real. Our fears come from ego based on past experiences. Do you know they literally studied fear? And the conclusion they came with is 98% of the things that we fear or worry about never come to pass. Fears is something that keeps us from playing big. It enslaves us to play small. By the way, I did share on the Dr. J. LaGuardia Facebook fan page today, I forwarded an article that Dr. Lona had posted. One of the best articles, blogs I read, the title is The Comfortable Life is Killing You. This guy just killed this article, killed it. He talks about, you know, some of the reasons why, you know, we've become so comfortable. And by the way, comfort is a big reason why we resist change. And he says some of the things that causes us to be comfortable or has caused us to be comfortable is that modern society, what happened in modern society is to make this state of affairs so, wait, sorry. He said maybe it's because we don't have to struggle or throw our bodies into action for mere survival anymore. So leaving more time to dwell inside our own heads. So in other words, we don't have to act nearly as much as we used to. He said the next one, maybe it's because hardships and dangers have been eliminated from our everyday life, and we no longer have to prove our worth or band together to overcome catastrophes and struggles. He says maybe it's the lack of adversity that strips us from the meaning and purpose of life. These are all things that keep us into comfort. He said maybe it's also because we conditioned to live behind a cultural mask. We never develop the essence of who our true being is. There was one here that I thought was awesome. I just want to find it. He said, maybe it's because we've been conditioned to look outside ourselves for heroes instead of the one behind our own eyes. And then he goes on further. I would definitely recommend you guys go and check in that article on the Facebook fan page. Okay, number three, and how to respond to your positively to change. Number three is confront your feelings and seek support. Acknowledge how you're feeling and ask for help. That's why we've put this group together. Four, stop the fearful thoughts and replace them with something positive. Right? Replace it. Replace it. Another thing I want you guys to understand is that when we expand our comfort zone, when we leave the comfort zone, we're really expanding our mindset, which expands our abundance, which expands our prosperity, and ultimately expands our income. Number six is be flexible, right? Just the course that you're on doesn't necessarily mean is where you're going to end. So be flexible in the process of change. Number six is be part of the change. So if your workplace environment is changing, don't resist it, embrace it, and be a part of the change. Offer solutions. Seven is communicate. Communicate with yourself, the people around you, your significant others. And number eight is don't make change decisions when you're stressed or anxious, because oftentimes we won't be making the appropriate decisions. So I have a challenge for you guys. I read this in a neuroscience book. I can't recall where it was. I'm trying to think where the hell I read this, but it said every time we do something different outside our normal habitual behavior, we're stimulating neuronal growth, right? We're stoking the brain for embracing change. And what was recommended was something as simply as brushing your teeth with your opposite hand. If you watch TV at night, read a book instead. Or if you read a book, watch a movie. Getting up earlier. So the challenge for you is to pick one thing per day over the next 7 days and do something different that day than you did the day before. The thing is, if we do that every day, change just becomes such a natural, easy part of our life. And, you know, a couple other examples. If you're a coffee drinker, try tea or vice versa. Adopt a new habit. You know, maybe get up in the morning and drink 20 ounces of water and have a little apple cider vinegar in it. Sleep on a different side of the bed. All these little subtle nuances allows us to program the mind to accept change easily. Now, last thing. So on the page next week, I'm going to put a question out. I want to know some of the things that you did that you changed and did differently over the past 7 days and what it felt like. So keep that in mind as you begin to implement some of these new change behaviors into your daily life. So let's wrap up. Any final thoughts or questions? From anybody, Steve Wilson's, any questions at all or thoughts?
I mean, just a lot of this speaks to what I need to be doing. I'm making a lot of changes in the office. And I think most of it for me actually speaks to personal stuff that I'm dealing with and making changes and commitments in that regard. So I think this is really good time and just got my mind thinking a lot.
Excellent. That's good. Yeah.
I was just going to add one thing. I mean, you know, we're all lifelong learners, constantly pushing ourselves to continue learning and being better at our craft, whatever it is. And sometimes changes has a negative connotation a lot of times. But, you know, at church this weekend, they were speaking on this exact topic. And one of the things that he challenged everyone to think about is that it's the active process of unlearning. You know, when we go to work, we take the same route, we do the same thing. We're not even like thinking, right? When we're traveling, and what the challenge was just go a different route, like unlearn something. And that's really that's what I'm getting out of this is like, it's the process of not necessarily changing, but unlearning a piece of what you've always done, right? Same thing, but just a different way to think of it more actively. But I love this. Yeah, it's awesome.
Justin, that's brilliant. And what you really are referencing is something we've discussed before, and we discussed it at the mastermind quite a bit. I mentioned to you guys about a portion in the brain called the reticular activating system. And we live 90% of our day in the reticular activating system, which is just below consciousness. And that's the habitual behaviors that we engage in over and over and over. And the reason we do so is because they don't require a lot of conscious thinking, right? Taking out the garbage doesn't require a high level of thought. But the point is that if we're constantly in the reticular activating system, living from subconsciousness, we're not living consciously aware. We're not living intentional. And so when we're pushed to live in a conscious state, when we're pushed to be more aware of our environment and surroundings, that's what makes us uncomfortable because we like to stay in the known. So that's exactly what you're referring to. And that simply could be taking different routes to work, you know, because that's that your brain now has to process it where before you don't even have to think about it.
Yeah, we used to always do that as managing our efficiencies. So like we would track all these little boring things that you get lost in. We would try to, okay, can I do it in 3 minutes instead of four? Or can I shave 35 seconds off of my route to work by taking a left instead of a right, or using cutting through a parking lot instead of going around or whatever. So if you were measuring the efficiencies, it started making you focus on how the change was actually improving your life.
True.
Instead of being bored out of your mind or whatever, doing whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah, that's great. That's really, really, really good. Okay, so two last things. The next mastermind will be March 20th. Yes, it'll be March 23rd, sorry, at 12:30. And I have a couple of topics. I want to get feedback from you guys. What would you prefer to go through first? One of my thought is how to increase productivity, go over the path of productivity and about organizing and scheduling and clarifying, blocking times out for your most important tasks. That could be one. Another one is how to create and attract more abundance and prosperity in your life. So those are the two topics. Or if you guys, right, because this is about you, if there's a topic you guys would like to cover and discuss. So the floor is open.
I like the prosperity thing. I think that that seems to be a topic. I'm actually rereading that part of the book right now.
Cool. Yeah, okay.
Prosperity, abundance stuff.
Jay, I'm up for that one too, because that's going to fit really well with my morning routine that I'm going to start tomorrow.
Awesome. All right. So, Right. So that's great. Okay, that's good. We'll cover that next time. And I do want some of your, I mean, I've got a list of stuff, but I really want to talk about what you guys want. I mean, like I've got the power of journaling. I have also creating a mindset of gratitude. I've got a bunch of different ones, but I really want to be targeted to what you guys want to cover and what you guys want to discuss. So we'll do the prosperity next time and maybe send me some ideas or thoughts of other things that you'd like to cover. Otherwise, I'll just kind of go through the list that I have. All right. So mark it on your calendar, March 24th at 23rd at 12:30. And we'll be coming how to create more abundance and prosperity in your life.